Chapter 7. We joined the crowd of people entering the city through the large wooden gates, and I pulled the hood of my cloak up over my head in an effort to hide my face. The girls did the same, but the wind was biting, so most of the travelers on the road with us were also covering their faces.
What are we going to do first?
Alyssa asked, and her emerald eyes sparkled with excitement. Take a look around town, I said with a grin. I want to know this place inside and out before I go see the Duke.
Devious.
Evangeline smirked.
I like it. First, let's find a stable and an inn.
Mahini suggested, ever the rational one.
Then we can explore the city. I've never been to Argonaut before.
Alyssa informed us, and she gazed up at the impossibly tall wooden gates as we passed beneath the archway portal.
I've only been once. When I was a little girl, my father brought me with him to see the Duke of Argonaut. I didn't like him very much, but I was very young, so I wouldn't trust my first impression.
No, well, they say no one can lie to kids or animals. I said with a shrug. If this Duke is responsible for the bandits, werewolves, and mercenaries, well, then he's already an asshole in my book.
We will get to the bottom of it.
Oh, I'm not even worried. I laughed, but I kept my voice low and conspiratorial. I am a god, after all. What is a mere duke against me? The streets of Argonaut were a bustle of activity, but I didn't see a single smile anywhere I looked. The people were all as gray and gloomy as the stone the walls were built of, but I resisted the urge to do my normal thing where I spammed my resets until I learned everyone in town by name and how to help them. I needed to stay on the down low for the time being. But now I was even more motivated to figure out what was going on with the Duke of Argonaut. Maybe after I took care of him, I could figure out how to help these gloomy people. My women and I followed the dense press of bodies into the market square. But then I saw a sign advertising a stable, so we headed in that direction against the tide of people. This city was almost as big as Valinwood. And the layout was just as confusing, too. It seemed like streets had been added on to the town as an afterthought, and buildings were stacked to the sky. There wasn't a whole lot of extra space, and the whole thing reminded me a lot of London and old movies from my world. Directly inside the stables stood a man in a dusty hat, and his knee-high boots were covered in manure. He obviously worked here, so I waved to get his attention. "Hello there!" I greeted the stable master in a friendly tone. How much to stable 4 horses?
Bleh, it's a copper coin a day,
the man informed me brusquely, and he eyed me sideways for a moment.
Bleh, you sure you can afford that?
I didn't like the way he looked at me, and he was being kind of rude, so I decided to try again.
Ding!
We walked through the dense press of people again, but this time when we came across the stables, I was ready. Hello there, I greeted for the second time. I've got 4 horses that need stalls. I've got the coin if you've got the room for them.
It's a copper.
Here's a week up front, I said as I handed over a bag of copper coins. Plus some extra for yourself, if you promise to treat my steeds extra nicely.
Well, there's 4 empty stalls around the corner, sir,
he said, and his eyes lit up at the prospect of coin.
I'll unsaddle him and give him a good brush down. Treat him like my own, I will.
I appreciate that. I grinned. Thank you.
No problem, sir,
the man said, and he tipped his hat before he led us to the empty stalls. We grabbed our saddlebags and everything we'd brought with us, and I hoisted my load up onto my shoulders as we hunted down an inn to stay at. A couple of streets over, we found a row of inns and taverns. So I picked the nicest-looking one and strode up the steps. The girls followed quickly after me, and we all blinked to adjust to the change in lighting inside. It was much dimmer than the snow-blind grayness outside, and the interior was lit by only a few candles. The common room was empty, and the dining room was too. Anyone here? Hello?
Oh! Patrons, my apologies!
A woman gushed as she hurried down the stairs.
Oh, well, what can I do for you?
She would have been an attractive woman for her age, if it wasn't for the haggard expression on her face, and she looked like she was about to keel over at any minute. The woman had wispy gray hair that fluttered around her cheeks like an ashy halo, and sad blue eyes blinked at us expectantly.
We'd like a room with a king-sized bed,
I informed her, and I pulled out more coins from my pocket. I'm willing to pay extra for more privacy.
All right, Ben.
The woman replied as she tucked wisps of hair behind her ears.
I have a room. I just finished cleaning. Only the one room.
Yes, I replied with furrowed eyebrows. My ladies and I would all like to stay in the same room.
Oh, yes, of course. I meant no offense.
The woman said as she turned away from us and beckoned over her shoulder for us to follow.
Right this way.
Do you have hot running water? I asked, and I tried not to sound too eager.
Sometimes,
the woman said with a shrug.
Depends on the weather. We get our water from a spring located inside the city walls, and sometimes it gets a bit icy. There's no amount of eating it up that will warm it either, just the way it is.
We followed her up the stairs and down the hall to a room decorated with a big bearskin rug in front of the fireplace. It looked like a mountain lodge you'd find somewhere snowy, like Aspen in my old world. A candle chandelier hung from the rough-hewn logs on the ceiling, and the atmosphere was cozy and inviting.
This room has a private bath and a fireplace,
the innkeeper informed me in a pleased tone.
Plus, with a king-size bed, I'm sure it is a perfect fit for your needs.
Indeed. I grinned. Thanks.
I like it,
Alyssa said with a wide smile.
The rug is a nice touch. It is perfect. I will leave you to your privacy, then.
The innkeeper nodded in satisfaction, and then she slipped past me and back down the hallway. I deposited my load on the floor and went to inspect the bathroom. It had a large tub carved out of some kind of gray stone, and it looked like it was built into the floor. I wondered if they had some kind of cement they used to make it. And then I tested the hot water. Ow! Yikes! I hissed as I yanked my hand back. But then a small smile spread across my face. The liquid flowed out at a boiling degree, which would make for an amazingly relaxing bath after it cooled just a hair. But first, I needed to clean and check my gear, so I turned the faucet off and returned to the bedroom. After a moment of inspection, I realized I hadn't gotten any scratches or dents in my armor. But my blades needed cleaning, so I gathered up all the things I needed to do so. I spread all my weapons out onto the bed before I went over each one with a rag. I scrubbed off the dried blood of my enemies, shined the metal surfaces, and ran my thumb along the blades to check their sharpness. Redness bloomed on the pad of my finger, and I quickly stuck it in my mouth to stop the flow of blood. They were sharp enough, that was for sure.
Oh, that's a good idea,
Mahini observed, and she moved to the other side of the bed to copy my actions with her own weapons. She carefully waxed her bowstring, repaired the feathers on a few arrows, and then cleaned her blade. The desert goddess and I worked side by side in silence for a while, but it was comfortable and enjoyable. The other two girls had left the room while I inspected the bathroom, but they soon returned bearing trays of food. Each tray was piled high with meats, cheeses, crunchy breads, and what looked like cream cheese, so I put away all my clean and organized gear before I joined the girls at the table. Ah, thank you for getting something to eat, I said with a grateful smile. Hungrier than I thought.
Our noonday meal was a long time ago. You need to keep your strength up.
You were right, I smirked. Yeah, if I'm going to tackle an entire city, I should make sure I'm energized first.
What's our next step?
Mahini asked with a serious expression.
How do we infiltrate the castle without the Duke being alerted to our presences?
You let me worry about that. For now, let's explore the town and see what all Argonald has to offer.
The innkeeper said there is a circus in town.
Evangeline informed me in an even tone, but I could see the excited glint in her storm-gray eyes.
That could be fun to go see.
Well, I've always liked the circus.
I've never seen one,
Alyssa said with a curious tilt of her head. She was already munching on a chunk of meat, and her cheeks looked like they were about to burst. You are so adorable when you eat, I said with a lopsided grin. My little chipmunk.
I'm hungry.
My wife shrugged, but her emerald eyes twinkled with delight.
Chipmunks are cute anyway.
I completely agree.
What animal am I, great one?
Eva asked, not one to be left out. An otter? Or a raccoon? Something mischievous.
Oh, do Mahini now.
Oh, Mahini is a viper, a panther, or a fox. In my opinion, anyway.
I am not poisonous like the viper, nor strong like a panther.
Mahini shook her head as she argued my words.
But I accept fox.
No. All right, then, a fox you shall be. I grinned. My foxy lady. When we finished eating, we took turns taking baths and getting ready for a night on the town. Mahini wore her usual garb of breeches and a long white shirt tucked into her pants, but she covered herself with a plain-looking fur-lined cloak as well. Alyssa wore a pale green dress that sashayed around her ankles, and she pulled a dark emerald cloak over her shoulders. Eva wore a gray dress the same smoky color as her eyes, and she paired it with a black winter hood. Lastly, I wore tight-fitting black pants, a white lace-up shirt tucked in at the waist, a black vest, and my own fur-lined cloak. All right, are you ready to see what the city of Argonold has to offer? I asked with a wide grin.
Ready when you are, great one. Let's explore!
Alyssa pumped her fist in the air.
The city will never know what hit them.
Eva added with a confident smirk. With that, we departed our room and descended the steps. And we left the inn with our arms linked together as we strode down the street. The roads were paved with gray cobblestones that matched the dreary atmosphere of the town, and I still didn't see a smiling face anywhere, not even on the vendors trying to attract customers with their wares. There was a guy shouting about his herbal concoctions and potions, a blacksmith selling weapons, a stall full of tapestries and rugs embroidered in elaborate designs, someone advertising baskets, and a man who smelled like manure shouted about a livestock auction happening later. It was a lot to take in, but I wanted to master this city, so I made a new save point as we walked down the street looking at all the shops and vendors' stalls. After careful consideration, I decided to start on the north side of the market district and work our way around in a strategic pattern. I didn't want to miss out on any opportunities to learn new skills or to pick up tidbits of information about the Duke of Argonold.
"Have you been plagued by werewolves?"
a vendor asked the crowd of shoppers in a loud voice, and my head swiveled toward him.
"I have the perfect thing to protect you against those vile creatures of the moon. Purchase my silver remedy, and your werewolf troubles will be over."
The girls and I all exchanged a look. And then we made a beeline for the vendor. He noticed our approach and flourished his arm dramatically in welcome. The thin man had stringy black hair, and he wore a multicolored cloak made up of patchwork selections of different fabrics. He looked, well, out of place among the drab street, but his friendly smile was also deviating from the grumpy norm of Argonold, so I found myself drawn to his booth.
"Ah, come, partake my wares. Peruse my selections. All your earthly delights can be satisfied with my concoctions. Need a potion to, lift the spirits?"
"We have no trouble with that,"
Mahini informed him with a sly smile.
"We heard you shouting about the werewolves. Aren't they mythical creatures of legend?"
"There have been rumors."
The man gasped like the desert goddess had offended him.
"Rumors of foul beasts roaming the woods during the full moon."
"How do you protect yourself against them? Have you seen them for yourself?"
"Well, I have heard first-hand accounts of the encounters, but I have just the thing to ward them off, and I can assure you it works quite well. I haven't seen a single werewolf since I started using this concoction."
If I hadn't seen the supernatural creatures with my own eyes, this man's spiel would have been laughable. But as it was, he had me curious. If I were to run into more werewolves in the future, having some sort of magical protection could give me the upper hand. They hadn't been the easiest things to kill, so I wanted to be as prepared as possible. "May I take a look at this remedy?"
"Yes, of course, my friend. Inspect its magical sign for yourself,"
the vendor said, and he hastily flourished one of the vials in front of my face. I snagged the vial from his hand, and out of curiosity, I pressed my pointer finger to the lid to check to see if it had any stats.
"Magical item, Silver Werewolf Bane. Weight, 0.01 pounds. Durability, 100%. Magical aspect, repels even the strongest werewolves. Weakness, poisonous if ingested."
Huh. Interesting. Silver wasn't poisonous back in my world, and I wondered what ingredient, or perhaps some kind of magical property, made it so in this one. I'll buy four of them, I said with a friendly smile, and the vendor gasped.
Wait just a minute,
the man said with a theatrical air.
You have not asked what my wonderful concoction is made of yet.
Let me guess. I smirked. Silver.
Silver, my boy, silver! How did you know?
Whew!
You have a keen eye.
The vendor rifled through his various jars and bottles until he pulled up another vial that reflected the fading sunlight like a mirror.
Look at how beautiful this magical concoction is.
Yeah, it's awfully pretty, I confirmed with a wry smile. And I already knew the answer to my next question, but I wanted to see what he had to say. Are you supposed to drink it?
No. No, my boy, drinking silver will surely kill you. This must be applied to your clothes, your extremities, anything you carry with you often. The mere essence of it on your person will repel the werewolf for miles around.
What about weapons? Could I apply it to a blade? I bet if I could coat a dagger, the next werewolf I came across would be in for a world of hurt.
With a talented enough smith to work the metal? Yes.
Can I buy it now?
Of course! You just have to surrender to the wonder of it, my boy,
the vendor said, and he clapped me on the shoulder.
Four, you said?
Yes, one for each of my ladies and myself, I replied with a nod.
Oh, you are in good company. The Duke himself has purchased my werewolf repellent.
The vendor chuckled to himself as he collected my coins and counted them one by one.
Oh, yes, he bought enough for his entire household, but I'm sure he only meant it for himself.
Is the Duke scared of werewolves?
Who wouldn't be? Oh! The monstrosities are out there. I warn you, keep your vial close to you at all times.
I will be sure to follow your instructions closely.
Good! The vendor nodded his approval. I can't have customers going around giving my business a bad reputation. After all,
I would never. But I'm curious about your Duke. How long ago did he visit your stall?
Right before the last full moon,
the vendor replied with a wide smile.
He is a smart one, that man.
If the Duke was worried about werewolves right before the full moon, then there had to be some connection between him and the beasts who attacked us. I wasn't too sure of the Duke's intelligence just yet, but if anyone could get to the bottom of things, it was me. After all, I could try an unlimited number of times.
Thank you for your time,
Eva said as we waved goodbye to the potions guy. Next, we migrated to the blacksmith shop, mainly because Mahini took the lead and directed us straight to it. But I had wanted to see the blades he was selling as well, so I went along happily.
Ah! I hope my friend next door didn't swindle you out of too much gold.
The blacksmith greeted us as we approached. He had close-cropped dark hair, but his beard hung full and down to his chest.
He's been trying to sell his mystery potions all morning, and you lot are the first to stop by his stall today.
Well, he sold us werewolf bane, I informed the tall, muscular man wearing a black leather apron.
Ha ha ha, gods! The only good werewolf bane is a silver blade.
Well, I have some silver and two unenchanted dagger blades. Think you could merge the two together to give me a proper defense against any potential werewolves?
Well, I can overlay a layer onto your blades, but I doubt you got enough silver in one vial to do both your weapons.
You can have ours,
Alyssa said, as she and the other women handed over their vials of silver potion.
Why, that should be enough.
The blacksmith gave an approving nod as he eyed the four vials in my hands.
It will take me a while, though, so be patient with me.
We have some other shopping to do, so we can stay occupied and out of your hair. I reached out my hand to shake his. How much will it cost me?
Oh, just a copper coin per blade,
the blacksmith replied as he shook my hand.
My name's Norm Brockman, by the way. A pleasure to meet you.
You can call me Bash, I said, but I didn't say any of my other titles, since I didn't want anyone to know the God of Time was in Argonaut just yet.
Ah, Bash it is,
the big blacksmith grinned.
Hand over your blades and your vials, and I'll get to work.
I unsheathed the two daggers Jaxtam had made for me as a wedding present, and then I handed everything over to the blacksmith. I'll pay you when I pick them up.
Yeah, sounds fair to me.
We said goodbye to the blacksmith, and then we moved on down the street. Alyssa asked to stop at a butcher shop, and my wife picked out some lean cuts of beef steak.
I might just see if the innkeeper will let me cook dinner for ourselves tonight. This looks like wonderful meat.
That's a fantastic idea, I said with a broad grin. It'll feel like we are at home.
Exactly.
My wife sighed as she leaned up against me, and then she looked up to meet my eyes with her own, full of adoration.
I love you so much, Bash. You're always up for anything, and you let me get excited over little things.
It's not a little thing if it excites you. After the butcher had wrapped our steaks in paper, Alyssa stashed them in her bag, and she paid the man with a couple of copper coins.
Those are some of my best cuts, the butcher said in a proud tone. The Duke himself bought some from the same cow.
His words gave me an idea, so I made a save point really quickly and then cleared my throat. You supply meat to the castle? Does someone from the staff come down to the market to purchase it from you?
Oh, no, not with how much meat they buy, the butcher replied,
and he rubbed his rotund belly as he chuckled.
No, oh, we take a wagon full up to the castle every week. Only the best will do for the Duke and his household.
Mahini shot me a sideways, questioning glance, but I ignored her.
When is your next shipment headed to the castle?
Oh, we go every seventh day, and it was about 5 days ago when we went last.
The butcher narrowed his eyes at me.
What's with all the questions, anyway? Who did you say you were again?
Ding!
I tucked away my newfound knowledge and thanked the butcher for his time, and then the four of us headed back out into the marketplace and onto a stall selling rugs and tapestries. The girls each picked out something colorful and cheery, but each woman selected something that matched her unique personality. Mahini picked a lace tapestry designed to look like icy blue snowflakes in an almost kaleidoscope fashion. Alyssa chose a thick velvet rug made of a deep emerald material, and Evangeline selected a tapestry that portrayed a violent scene where what appeared to be nobles were being eaten by a dragon.
Wow, great job, ladies.
I shook my head in awe at their wonderful choices.
Oh, why thank you, husband.
Alyssa flashed a bright smile my way.
This rug will look wonderful in the living room. The tapestries can both be used as curtains or room dividers. Are you going to get anything, Bash?
My wife asked as she batted her eyelashes at me.
Something regal for the bedroom, maybe?
Sure. I grinned, and then I turned to look over the selection of rugs and tapestries hung up on display in the vendor's booth. The stall owner was a hunchbacked old man, wearing a bright-colored silk cloak over his vibrant red clothes, and I caught his eye after a moment. Do you make them yourself?
Yes, my family does,
the old man said with a slow nod.
We will clean them free of charge for as long as you have the rugs as well. It's the same offer I give the Duke. You seem like a fine, noble lad. You want the same deal I give the Duke?
Apparently, having an encounter with the castle was good for business in these parts, because every vendor seemed to have some tale about their exchanges with the Duke. I made a quick save point, and then I cleared my throat. When will you be cleaning the Duke's rugs next? I asked in an innocent tone. Oh, the worst thing that could happen is he would call me a sneak thief or something, and I could always reset to my save point if I needed to. So I figured I might as well try to get as much information as I could.
Why do you want to know?
I'm looking for employment. I'd love to get a job working for the Duke. Being able to go inside the castle, well, it's a lifelong dream of mine.
Yeah, we don't hire people off the street,
The old man gave me a shrewd look.
You have to prove yourself before I give you regular employment.
I'm confident I can impress you, so let me show you the next time you go to the castle. I pressed with a hopeful smile.
Right. Just this one time to see how you do.
The vendor relented with a sigh.
Meet at the side entrance on the north side of the castle at midnight. All cleaning must be done in the dead of night.
Why? I asked, and I hoped my innocent charade held up under his scrutinizing gaze.
So as not to disturb the Duke or his courtiers,
the vendor said, as if this should be obvious. Well, how long does the cleaning usually take? I continued, while the girls blinked at me in confusion. They obviously had no idea why I was asking this random vendor about employment cleaning rugs, but I didn't bother to explain myself, since I was just going to reset to my save point anyway.
It won't take very long, only a few hours.
The vendor shrugged.
If you get there before me, say Marlowe sent you. That's me. The guards will show you where to go from there.
Awesome. I grinned. Thanks for the tip.
Ding!
I don't think I need a rug or anything, I said after I glanced over the selection. I'm sure we'll find plenty of things to decorate our house with, but I got what I wanted from this booth.
But you didn't get anything.
Eva argued with a furrowed brow. Oh, I got plenty. I smirked mysteriously. Come on, let's go see if my daggers are done. We went back to the blacksmith, but I could tell even from a distance that he was still hard at work on my daggers. So we continued down the street, through the market, in search of something else interesting. Eventually, we came across a vendor selling baskets, and Eva stopped to admire the high quality of the weaving patterns.
These are very well made,
the Duke's daughter said in an appreciative tone. She smiled at the vendor, and she held up one of the baskets.
Can you show me your technique?
You know basket weaving?
Don't be so surprised, great one.
Eva countered with a coy smile.
I had to learn a lot of things growing up, and this happened to be one of the tasks I enjoyed.
The four of us spent the next couple of hours learning how to weave baskets from the kindly old lady running the vendor's stall. She had graying auburn hair tied back into a tight braid, and her eyebrows hung over her shadowed eyes, so I couldn't tell what color they were. When we all had a finished basket made with the technique she'd taught us, she clapped her hands with approval.
Oh, you are some of the fastest learners I have ever encountered. You are welcome to come help me at my booth any day.
Thank you, ma'am,
Alyssa said with a low curtsy.
It was a pleasure to learn from one as skilled as yourself.
All of our baskets looked great, and even though I'd only used one attempt to make mine, it still came out looking pretty good. So I let time continue running. Basket weaving wasn't a high-priority skill for me to learn, but it could come in handy in the future. Only time would tell what skills I needed and which I didn't, so I wanted to learn all of them. Next, we went on to the livestock auction, and I purchased a herd of pigs to be taken to Bastionville. The farmer who sold them came over to clasp my hand in thanks, and he gave me a broad grin as we shook hands.
Well, name's Pite,
he informed me in a friendly voice.
I hear you're taking these beauties all the way to Bastionville.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. I'm staying in town a while longer, and I wondered how much you would charge to take the animals to my hometown for me.
Well, I've never been to Bastionville, Pate drawled. His voice sounded as smooth as melted butter,
and his smile was the most charming I'd seen all day. It was good to see someone cheerful around Argonold, but I had a sneaking suspicion this guy wasn't from around here.
It's a lovely little town on the southern border.
I've heard of it. I hear the Great One of Legend has arrived, and he's taken over Bastionville. Oh, I'd really like to meet him someday. You're from there. Have you ever met the Great One everyone's talking about?
No.
I lied as I scratched the nape of my neck self-consciously. I needed to stay incognito if my mission here was to be a success. My main goal was for the Duke to be unaware of my presence until it was too late.
Never met the guy. I hear he's great, though.
Oh, I imagine he is. He is the Great One, after all.
Just then, a small boy ran up and grabbed onto my cloak with a tug.
Mister, mister, the blacksmith is done with your blades,
the boy said, and then he held out his hand expectantly.
Boh, bloodthirsty messengers. Rob you blind just for telling you the time.
Ah, he's only a boy. I laughed and I handed over a coin to the kid. The dirt-faced, snot-nosed boy dashed off as fast as he'd suddenly appeared. And I shook my head in awe at his industrious nature. Well, I suppose I best be on my way. Do we have a deal about the pigs?
Oh, sure. Oh, you bought the whole herd at once. I'd be more than happy to see them safely home.
Good. I nodded. Thank you so much.
No, don't mention it. Oh,
Pate waved a dismissive hand.
I might even get to see the Great One of Legend.
Oh, good luck. I chuckled, and then we headed back to the blacksmith's shop to retrieve my daggers. The twin blades shone brightly in the torchlight scattered across the now dark street, and they reflected the light stronger than they had before. Otherwise, well, they appeared to be exactly the same. I paid the blacksmith and thanked him for his work, and once we were on our way, I checked the stats on my newly improved blades.
Durability, 100%. Weight, 1 pound. Quality, good. Magical aspect, silver. Magical ability, extra effective against werewolves.
No, it looked like it had worked. But I had no werewolves to test them on, so I'd just have to wait and see. Well, I think that was a wonderful day, I said to the three beauties walking by my sides as we made our way back to the inn. Are you three happy with your purchases?
I'm very pleased,
Eva said with a small smile.
Thank you for including me. Your family.
Alyssa reminded the blonde as she nudged her with her elbow.
Of course you'd be included. It did feel nice to shop. I do not usually enjoy it, but today was fun. I agree. Plus, we all got to learn how to weave a basket. That was especially fun. Although, Bash seemed to pick it up so easily, he made my own skills pale in comparison. Bash is just like that.
Alyssa shrugged.
He's good at everything the first time. It's amazing.
I chuckled to myself. Well, little did my wife know it had taken me lifetimes to learn all the skills I now knew. Countless numbers of attempts had been lived through in order for me to gain the knowledge needed to be a master at my first try. But it was all worth it in the end. I wondered how many masters there were in Argonauld, and excitement coursed through my veins. I could totally level up before I went to go see the Duke, and then, well, I'd be on a whole other playing field than I have been. I decided right then and there I was going to hunt down every single master in Argonauld and learn everything I could from them. The God of Winning was in town, and he had time on his side.